Ephesians chapter 3. I just never cease to be amazed at how needy we are as a people, as a nation, as a world, if you will, and certainly that includes myself. Yesterday, two different situations that I was involved in, neither one of them were I planning to be in my preacher mode, if you will. Neither was I planning to try to speak truth into someone's life, but in both cases, I was offered it. The first one was quite by accident, and the second one was, I could tell, God had foreordained it. I had a little class with the Trail Life group from First Matthews. I preached a revival for First Matthews, and we set this up back in October when we talked about maple syrup and the such. And Chris, it's kind of their Awana program, if you will, their marijuana program. But nonetheless, they have to do an outing. And so he heard me go on and on about the maple syrup situation. He said, well, so if we brought our group, would you show us? Sure, no problem. So we set that for yesterday. Had it all set up with Brother Gavin, Brother Al to bring them, and I was just going to do the whole load, have them haul sap, tap some trees, just the whole thing. But right before they came, I felt led to go check the taps, just kind of see if we got any sap. And sure enough, frozen solid. And I told Dawn, I said, got good news and bad news. The good news is we got sap. The bad news is it's a chunk, and it's not going to come out of a little PVC pipe. So I immediately thought, anytime I go to anything, seminar, conference, I have this challenge. Take at least one thing home with you. Take at least one thing home that you can use to change your life. And so I thought, well, what can I give them that might be one of those things? And so one of the things that I just right at the top said, guys, change what you can change. Accept what you can't. That was a neat little ringtone. I like that. And there's no, folks, we've all done it. Can I get a witness? We've all done it. It's all good. Hopefully it's not a mercy. All right, here we go. Accept what you can change. Change what you can change. Accept what you cannot. There was a fellow there that I could tell the weight of his world was upon him. And I was tempted to think, well, come on, man. You know, whatever you're struggling with, snap out of it. But that's fleshly, because I don't know. I don't feel any of his weight. So when the pastor got in the van, just me and him, I said, all right, tell me what's going on. And he told me, unbelievable what this young man is fighting. And he said, Brother Ben, when you said what you said at the very start, I just almost went to my knees praying that this guy was listening. Because it's exactly what he needs to do. He needs to change what he can change and not worry about everything else. Let God handle that. And church, if you're there, if you came in with a load, that maybe it's even subverting what's trying to go on here, I'm begging you, just make up your mind right now. I'm going to change what I can change, which that usually includes whatever is in your yard, and then lay everything else at the foot of the cross. And then let's worship. And the other thing, I had my little missions jacket on at Walmart. And my wife had this little cute outfit, apparently. I don't notice outfits. It's just the cross she has to bear. She can just dress to the nines, and I'm like, yeah, that's cool. Yeah, I'm a man. All you women need to hear this. The definition of a man, a speck of attention on a sea of oblivion. Okay? So every once in a while we'll go, oh, that I like that. You better take that and run with it, ladies. That'll last you for a year or two. Okay? So anyway, but this lady at Walmart noticed Dawn's outfit and everything that she had going with it. And I'm like, well, yeah, look at that. Had no clue. She got clothes on. That's the most important thing. But she reached out and tried to bless Dawn. Well, I got to looking for something, so I came back to her and asked her where it was. And so she complimented my jacket. And it was obvious what was going on. And I said, well, I'm a pastor of I always do this. I'm a pastor of a small church in Lonedale, Missouri. I said it. And she looked at me. We would you pray for me? Yes, ma'am, I will. And she went into her story. She's getting evicted, folks. She's got to move. She doesn't want to move. She's struggling. I told her, and I hope that she's watching. I told her, BethelLongdale.com, YouTube, Bethel Baptist Church, we're on there. We'd love to minister to you in any way we can. You just never know. You just never know the needs that are there. Ephesians chapter 3, let's stand for the reading and reverence of God's holy word. We are preparing for February the 7th. Serving Revolution, we're praying and asking at Bethel Baptist Church. Ephesians chapter 3. So, as a teenager, basically 14 through 18, read the New Testament 17 times because I felt led to, because there was just so much that I didn't know. And I still feel like that. So much I don't know. This was one of the things that was an absolute mystery. The word mystery. Paul says it over and over and over. The mystery, the mystery, the mystery. And it was a mystery as to what he was talking about. And I could tell he was trying to tell me what it was, but I wasn't getting it. And it wasn't until college that I got into preacher school, if you will, and I got taught the Bible, that I connected. Please listen. And I'm going to help you to know what the mystery is. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. Now, first question is can you say that towards the people that you know God wants to reach in your sphere of influence, that you are a slave to Jesus Christ for them? That's a level of surrender that God wants every one of us to get to. If indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, that just means time frame, which was given to me for you. So Paul is saying, I've been given a brand new time frame, dispensation to you. How that by revelation, that means he showed it to him, he made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. In other words, I'm going to tell you what it is, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men. That's the Old Testament times. As it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets. And here it is. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel. This was a mystery to the Old Testament Israel, who were called the children of God, but they took that as an exclusive party. They took it as an exclusive determination, if you will, designation, and they had no intention of Gentiles getting in on the play, but that was the mystery. God never intended that. God always intended for it, because folks, unless you're Jewish, you're a Gentile. So we most likely have a church full of Gentiles here. You were included in the gospel of Christ because God loves you just as much as he loves, quote unquote, his chosen nation. You see, that's the mystery, that we were always a part of the plan. Look at verse 6. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel, of which I became a minister, Paul is saying, according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effective working of his power. That's the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 8. To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, that spiritual warfare, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. What is the eternal purpose that was settled in Jesus Christ? That is for him to have a relationship with his creation. That was the eternal purpose. He wants to have a real, vibrant relationship with you. He does. And it will change your life. Look here at verse 11. 12. In whom, thank you, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. Therefore, I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this reason, here we go. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, put your name there, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love, and this is what God has for that young man yesterday struggling with his issues. This is what God has for that lady at Walmart. He wants to help them in their situation. Look at verse 18, and this is how he'll do it. May be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. He wants every person in here, as difficult as it is because of our finiteness. Church, we don't have the mind of God. We don't. And so it's impossible for us to totally grasp how much God loves us. But he's given us enough that we can understand the measurements of his love for us. And it's measured by the cross. Now, I'm fixing to blow your mind. His love has no limits. So you can measure it as best as you can, but you just know that when your measuring tape runs out, his keeps going. That's how much he loves you and me. Now, to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Father, we ask you to add your blessings to the reading and preaching of your holy word. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. You may be seated. So, we are entered into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ through salvation. Lord, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I deserve eternal punishment, but I know that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins, so I ask him to forgive me my sins, to come into my heart, and be my Savior. That's essentially Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. When you and I enter into a personal love relationship with Jesus Christ, with that introduction, now he wants for you to dive into just what it means for him to love you. He wants you to be discipled, and ultimately, he wants you to take this message to everyone in your world. That's it. And by doing that, we are bringing glory to Jesus Christ. Now, I have shared this many, many times. It's just the best way I know to illustrate a point. We used to keep a metal chair around close, but Brother Ivan built these 300-pound things here. I'm kidding, because I wouldn't be doing this if it was 300 pounds. You guys know that. I'm a 90-pound weakling that weighs about 200 on your business. Thank you for laughing. That was a joke. Imagine if I walked through Walmart like this. For one thing, probably whoever the chief of union would be called, and I'd be arrested if I just continued to walk through Walmart like this. But here's the thing. I would draw attention to myself. What have I done? I've added to my weight. Kind of oddly so. But I've added to my weight. When you and I live for Jesus Christ, we add to his weight. When we share his love for others, we add to his weight. When they accept Jesus Christ and submit to baptism and discipleship and start attending a local church, we add to his weight. Now watch this. When the pews and chairs start getting full and services start getting added, and it doesn't matter the name of the church type thing. When movement starts, that adds to the weight. And people pay attention. What's going on over there? And church, listen to me. The serving revolution is going to be one of the ways that God adds weight to his name, because as you and I ask him, who can we serve, and then we serve them, some of them are going to want to start a relationship. Some of them are going to ask you questions about why are you doing this. Some of them, it may take a while, but some of them are going to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. Some of them are going to walk through the baptismal waters. Some of them are going to join whatever church that you're a part of. You see what I'm saying? We're going to add to the glory of God. And that is our purpose. That's why we're put here. We have been put here to bring glory to the name of Jesus Christ. So, three questions. What are we trying to avoid with this serving revolution? Simply put, if I have not already made it abundantly clear, if you have not been able to make our last couple of Sundays, for one, welcome back. We're glad to have you, thrilled to have you. If you're looking for a church home, we hope you found one type thing. But we are, February the 7th, two Sundays from now, are asking our church, anyone that claims and names this place their house of worship, to consider committing for 90 days, so till May the 8th. February the 8th to May the 8th. Commitment day is February the 7th. That's a Sunday. We're going to commit for 90 days to not say, this may be the hardest part of the commitment for some of you, to not say anything negative about the church or complain about the church. My personal family included. Just kidding. Yeah, thank you, Aaron, for laughing. Rough crowd. But that's really, honestly, the least part of the commitment. You're going to agree not to complain or say anything negative about the church, but the most important part, you're going to commit to, you choose, up to 2 hours of service to serve the community for the glory of Christ. That's what I'm asking you to do. I'm asking you 2 weeks from now, and I'll get more in detail of what that's going to look like. But that's the serving revolution we're hoping and praying takes off. What are we trying to avoid with this serving revolution? So there was a fellow that did an autopsy of a dead church. Now, folks, you don't have to go very far to look for a dead church. Our association has a lot of them. And I'm not talking about the ones that are still having services. I'm saying that we've went from 24 to about 20 in just a few years. We have dead churches, churches that have died. And one particular author looked into some churches that had died, and he did an autopsy, if you will. And these are some of the marks of a dead church. First of all, you have a slow erosion. You have a slow erosion of enthusiasm. It's Sunday. You have a slow erosion of participation. I've paid my dues. Done my time. A slow erosion of biblical preaching. Too many preachers just mail it in. A slow erosion of caring about if anyone walks the aisle or goes into the baptismal pool and such. Just a slow erosion of the things that the church should be about. Next, where the past becomes the hero. We're trying to avoid that. Church, I'm thrilled at what God did for this church in 1997, 98, 99, 2000. But that's history. We need some victories in 2021. We need some movement, if you will, in 2021. We need to be able to say that about 1998 as an afterthought because what God just did type thing. And I'm not saying we've already celebrated what God did with Alyssa, and that's everything. That's what we're trying to accomplish. And God does not want to just add to this church. He wants this church to multiply. He wants tens and twenties of Alyssas, if you see what I'm saying. A refutation. We're trying to avoid a refutation to look like the community. In other words, churches that have died, they've refused to look like the community that they live in. Sorry, Brother Ben, this is a white church. You better pray long and hard before you come to me with that. And I don't mean that as a threat. I'm saying you and I will have to sit down and we'll have to work through that. And I don't imagine that anybody here would ever say that. I can tell you about some churches that have. And they're not doing very well type thing. And the people that said it aren't doing very well. Because God takes that very seriously. If you have people of color in your community, they should be in your services. We believe that, we preach that, we teach that. And through serving all colors, we're trying to avoid that. We're trying to avoid where the budget is all spent inwardly. And praise the Lord. We're going to get into some of the things, but For the most part, we don't struggle with this. Praise God. When we see a need, we try to meet it. We give a lot of money to missions, so on and so forth. And we need to spend money for home missions. I'm a big proponent of that, but it can't be just that. You've got to be willing to go to the uttermost parts of the earth, where the Great Commission becomes the great omission. And it's not that you really ever do it on purpose. You don't ever stand up and say, okay, we've just decided to skip that part. We love God and everything, but I don't know if any church would ever do that, but it happens just by omitting it. You never talk about it. You never invite your neighbors. You never see new people come. You never pray for it to happen, whatever the case may be. And the preacher that lets that go, you need to find you a new preacher. We cannot omit the Great Commission. The Great Commission is the only purpose we're meeting, to reach men, women, boys, and girls with the gospel of Christ. The preference-driven church, and we've talked about this. I'm okay with meeting folks where they're at. We have a first service, we sing hymns. We have a second service, we sing contemporary Christian music. We have a third service. It's probably going to have a different flavor too. Watch this. But that can't be what church is about. Church is not about yours and my preference. Church is about other people coming to the gospel of Christ. We've got to avoid being a preference-driven church. We got to avoid pastoral tenure decreases. We don't have that problem. Some of you may wish that we did. I don't know. But you've got a 22-year tenured pastor. Praise the Lord. Watch this. If I die tomorrow, you need to look. First of all, take care of Dawn and the kids. Just want to say that. Let me give you another chance. I want you to take care of Dawn and the kids. All right. Come on now. Let's keep it real. I'm messing with you. It's because I know you will. But I hope you know we've had those conversations. I live in your house. So if I die tomorrow, they're going to have to find a place to go. And I know that you will treat them fairly. I know that. But the reality is they know they've got to go somewhere. Okay? And so here's the point. Who's the next guy? You guys will have to find you a new preacher. Don't find you a preacher that sees you as a stepping stone to the bigger church. Don't you dare do that. You find you a preacher that wants to haul some hay occasionally on Sundays. Not Sundays, on summers. Summers. Lord, help us. You know what I mean. Find you a pastor that is comfortable with, come on, stay with me. Find you a pastor that's comfortable with rural pastoring. Let me get back to my notes. Where the church has no purpose, we're trying to avoid that. Church, we have a purpose. We have a purpose. Where we obsess over the facilities. Brother Ben, I'm not sure about all these kids coming in here. We're not going to keep them walls. You know, we're going to have to hire us a drywall guy full time. Then do it. Keep one on retainer. Yeah. Would to God we had so many crumb munchers here, if you will, that we had to repair the walls once a month. Would to God. Because that means that we're serving people. That means that we're reaching people that have needs. Watch this. Every one of those little crumb munchers has a soul. And every one of them has a grandma and grandpa and a mom and dad and brothers and sisters. And we need to reach them for Christ. We absolutely do. You guys don't know this, because I ain't told you yet. But somebody needed our catalytic converters more than we did. And they got under there and zip, 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 and they gone. You know what we did? We put new catalytic converters on our vans because we're going to reach people for Christ. The Lord will take care of those guys. He will. And I hope and pray he does it gently, and I hope they come to know Christ. Yep. And you know, we've always joked as Christians that if somebody steals our Bible, they probably needed it more than we did. I know where they're selling them. We just go get another one. All right. Where we embrace sidetracks. I've preached and preached and preached this, and I'm not aware of an issue. But we are not going to sidetrack on versions. We are not going to sidetrack on length of hair and all that. I'm not saying those issues do not have some importance in and of themselves. They do. But we are going to only sidetrack on the gospel. That's where we're going to get sidetracked. which is where God has asked us to get in that lane. All right, we're almost done. Point number two. What of these areas will the serving revolution address? Well, it should certainly slow down erosion, because worshipers will be putting down roots through engagement. The greatest way that you know that your church is in a positive movement upward is that the lion's share of the people that attend are engaged. Do you have something that you're doing that contributes to the work of the church and ultimately the gospel? We will be starting a new adventure. This is a new adventure to point to instead of relying on a victory 20 years ago, and we've already dealt with that. As we serve all types, we will attract all types. As the Lord opens doors, we will see souls saved. As we serve, new challenges will arise that need finances and prayers. Sister Joyce, I always think of this when I think of this. Joyce told somebody years ago, "I'm not scared to step into your mess." I think that's one of the reasons that God called them to the Celebrate Recovery Ministry. They do not hesitate to hear your minutiae. They love you. They love you right where you're at. And they're going to love you enough to tell you need to step out of that. You need to move to the cross and the such. But they will meet you where you're at. We need a whole church of that. And as we do that within our sphere of influence, you're going to have opportunities to pull out your wallet and say, "I'm willing to help." Or if it's something that's just really tough, come to me. Hey, we need to prayerfully consider helping. We're going to have opportunities to spend money to help people. We're going to have opportunities to pray. You're going to start praying a lot because you're going to have these needs in front of you. Our purpose will be undeniable as a result of serving our community. Point number three, and we're almost done. You got to say it at least twice. What is the seventh going to look like? So on the seventh, and I sent this after the first service, I thought, I probably ought to let Stacy know that this is an expectation of mine because she's going to hear it in the second service. So Stacy's going to design us a card that's going to have these four, at least, things on it. Block number one for you to check. I am committing today till May the 8th to add blank so many hours or blank so many minutes. That's for you to pray through between now and the 7th. Serving a week to my regular schedule. So let me reread that again. I'm committing today till May the 8th to add blank hours or blank minutes serving a week to my regular schedule. And committing to not saying anything negative or complaining about the church or anyone in the church. Box number two. I'm going to specifically serve in this area. That's if you know. Fill in the blank. I would like more direction in this area. Now, if you fill that out, and I welcome you to do it. So if you don't want to fill the other twos out, but you fill this, I am open to more discussion in this area, you got to sign your name. So if you don't click that box, if you will, I don't need your name. This is between you and God. But I would like to be able to say Bethel Baptist Church has set amount of commitments and set amount of hours and minutes to serve each week for 90 days. So if you say, "I'm open to this, but I'm just not ready to commit," I need your name, because we'll sit down and talk. And then lastly, the fourth box, I'm praying diligently. So let's just say you didn't fill out the first three blocks, but you're on board. You just either haven't gotten clear vision yet, or you're just not sure about it, whatever the case may be. I am praying diligently for our church to connect with our community in such a way that the gospel will flourish as a result of God's people entering into serving opportunities with the community. I believe every person here could do at least that. At least that. I'm begging you. Brother Ben, I don't like it when you get, so whatever. Church, all I'm doing is what I feel like the Holy Spirit has led me to. I warned you back in October, and you're still coming. Yeah. I believe that God wants us to do this. I'll tell you a little joke. Now, Dawn has just, have I been mean to you? Was I mean to you in the first service? No. But she keeps saying, "Be nice, be nice." So, in first service, I shared this. 2 weeks ago, we came here and prayed together. I like to pray the prayer of Jabez. And the prayer of Jabez in the Old Testament was, Lord, help me not to hurt anyone. I love that. Help me not to, help me not to hurt anyone. If you've got a blessing up there in heaven today for me, I'm asking for it. Number three, enlarge my coasts. And that means give me more opportunity for you. Give me more influence for you. And so I guess it surprised her, but I prayed that. And I didn't pray it for me. I prayed it for her. And so after the prayer, she's like, babe, I'm so loaded. I got so much. Don't ask for the Lord to increase my, what? did I mess up? I can't do what I got on my plate right now. Okay, all right. We'll let the Lord work all that out, okay? All right. So I changed my prayer. Help her to do what she's already been called to do type thing. So this week, I got an opportunity. You'll hear more about it later. Put on my plate. So when I came and told her about it, she said, oh, apparently the Lord's answering it for you, not for me. You know, because I've already taken on the missions director of the state association, and now this opportunity, and I've got some other things that I was already praying and thanking about for this situation. Watch this. I have the time, energy, and ability to do whatever the Holy Spirit will empower me to do. And you do too. Let's all stand. Musicians, will you come? Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you have, you know, we talked about this at the very start. You have a burden today. I think it'd be wonderful if you just came to the altar. Just come to the altar and lay it at the foot of the cross. And you know I'm talking figuratively. But you're just going to say, Lord, I can't handle this. You know that. So I'm asking you to handle it on my behalf. I'm asking you to work it out for your kingdom's sake. Show me what I can do. Show me where I can change things. And then everything that I can't change, I'm just going to trust you to do it. I think that would lift a load. In church, if you see someone come, especially if you have a connection with them, you may just come and put your hand on them and pray with them. Obviously, I'm asking for ladies to do that with ladies and men to do that with men. If you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, I'd love to send you as someone gender appropriate and they'd share the gospel with you. We've got so many families that are hurting. Please lift them up. Maybe you need to start now asking the Lord, what do you want me to do to serve you, Father? Lord, we just love you. The Spirit here today has just been so powerful, moving so freely. I ask that the powers of the darkness would be evicted from this place and that you would have absolute free reign to move in our hearts, to speak to us, to change us, to look more like you. In Jesus' precious and holy name we ask it. Amen. Let's sing.